With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
Hello, welcome back. It's hour two of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. I'm joined by Casey Bubba at BDNtrick on the Twitter. Casey, tell everyone all of the millions of podcasts that you are hosting right now.
Many. Bench with Bubba is the satellite podcast, the one to go check out for sure. Doing a lot of fantasy baseball talk there, fantasy football, but it's mainly focusing on fantasy baseball as we're getting ready for 2020 already, as we are almost into December. So get ready for that, Bench with Bubba. And then, you know, for DFS wise, I do a baseball one during the baseball season, but I do the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. I do Around the Base with Bubba and Mo. It's more of a baseball news, a little fantasy to it as well. And then I have two DFS football shows, the 2-Point Conversion NFL DFS podcast. I believe it's year four. Myself and James McCool are doing that. Within the Fantrax DFS show, where I have a different guest from the industry on every week to break down the main slate's action. So lots of fun there. This week I got Mark Wimkin from The Quant Edge. Had him on earlier again this year. Super sharp dude. He's going to help you guys make some money. So go check it out. If you have any questions on where to find everything, just go to Twitter at BDNtrick. I tweet and retweet, and you'll get annoyed by the end, but you'll know where to find it. That's for sure.
Please go check out Casey Bubba's stuff. And Casey Bubba, way better Twitter than me too. So I'm okay on Twitter, but you're way better. You're especially way better at prodding people.
So. Me?
I do declare. Whatever are you saying?
Time.
Yeah, you're good. You I wouldn't call you a troll, but
no, I don't go that far.
Right, but I would say that you do. You do poke a little bit. So, and I know the
blood
Welsh
pressure rising
that.
Once in a while. Like, you know, it's sometimes it's like not directly there, but if you're smart enough or you're maybe guilty of something, you'll know it'll sting. So it's there for you.
I like that you and Welsh did the internet high five, because the Welsh was very happy when Patrick Laird didn't succeed last week. And because he said it just felt like every single person was, propping up Patrick Laird and all this stuff. And, you know, the real answer at running back in Miami is no one. Don't mess with it. You know, but I have to admit, I fell into that. And you picked Laird to have more touches than Ballage.
It made too much sense. We should have known.
Right. It made way too much sense. But let's get to this last game where the Saints beat the Falcons last night 26-18 to clinch the NFC South. They are into the playoffs. Third straight NFC South title for the Saints as well. And this one was the goddamn Taysom Hill show. And I like Taysom Hill a lot, but this annoyed me so much because we had the Hateful Eight score a touchdown in that first game. And then wasn't there a weird touchdown in Buffalo and Dallas as well?
That Bryant.
Right. Yeah, Dez Bryant's cousin scored that weird touchdown. And then Taysom Hill scored two touchdowns in this game. He also blocked a punt. So amazing game for him. Definitely turkey leg, MVP, all that good stuff. But then we also had the guy for Atlanta, Jaden Graham, who
Not a bad play this week.
Yale. What is with all of these Ivy League tight ends?
Jaden Graham, I actually, like I mentioned the Chicago tight end I mentioned as a punt. Graham was one of my top two tight end options this week. Jeez. For the Thanksgiving slate. It's three game slates. So you got to be, you know, a little deeper on it. But he's going to play the Austin Hooper role right now. So there's some validity to Jaden Graham.
And raise your hand if you knew who Russell Gage was going into the year.
End of the year. No, I learned about him about 4 weeks ago when Sanu got traded, and he's been a good friend of mine since.
That's what I was going to say. If you knew about Russell Gage before the season started, unless you're a huge college fan or way into the draft, you didn't know he was.
What school did he go to?
LSU.
Really? And I still didn't know who he was.
Yeah, wow. Because he was a special teamer at LSU.
They never have quarterbacks at LSU. So
yeah,
you
know, yeah. And Burrow was not what he is this year.
Yeah, if Gage was there this year, we'd all know who he is.
Gotcha. Right, exactly. So Russell Gage caught a touchdown in this one as well. And, of course, my cousin was like, should I start this Gage guy over Ridley? And I was like, no. Why would you do that? And I mean, it was still, I think, you know, Ridley still paid you out on that.
But I would have. You play Ridley over Gage every day.
Every day, twice on Sundays.
Be real about it. Yes. That wasn't the wrong call.
Right. Exactly. But going through this game, you know, Taysom Hill was the big guy here. He caught a touchdown. He ran in a touchdown. He had, 45 total yards. Other than him, even Michael Thomas took a backseat for the Saints offense this week. Six catches, 48 yards, four catches for 23 yards for Kamara, along with 11 rushes for 61 yards. Are they not giving Kamara the ball enough?
What I saw this past week, which is very interesting, actually, is they're giving Kamara, like his numbers are almost identical to last year, except he's not scoring.
Right.
So he's doing almost the same thing, give or take. It just seems even worse because look at all the touchdowns he had last year. It's crazy. You look at, 11 carries. Hill had two. Murray had four. Breeze had one. You can't ask for much more there. They were throwing the ball a ton. He's just not getting into the end zone. And eight targets. What do you want?
Right.
He's getting it all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what you really want is just the scores. And, Latavius Murray is unbelievably frustrating because if you started him this week going, look, the last 2 weeks, he's looked great, and then he gets four carries for 2 yards, wasn't targeted, and Taysom Hill ran in a touchdown, I'd be flipping tables over. Luckily, I don't think I started Latavius Murray anywhere, but that is aggravating, infuriating stuff. And then you go to the Atlanta side, and they almost came back in this game. Like, they got the onside kick. It was all kind of lining up, and they just couldn't seal the deal, but 50 pass attempts for Matt Ryan, 35 of 50 because they were down the whole game. Two touchdowns, two picks. Devontae Freeman came back. He looked decent. 17 rushes for 51 yards. So kind of grinding it out against a tougher Saints defense. 3 yards per carry, but four catches also. Calvin Ridley with no Julio in this one. 10 targets, 8 catches, 91. Russell Gage, 5 for 52 in the score. Jaden Graham, 4 for 41. Who is this? Christian Blake.
I was waiting for that. No clue.
Christian Blake.
Yeah,
I don't.
No clue.
He went to Northern Illinois, but I don't remember him.
Yeah.
And then Hardy was even down here. Brian Hill didn't contribute much. Four rushes and three catches as well. But the offense looked better for Atlanta, but they just couldn't punch it in, right?
Yeah, it's just one of those things as we talk about it, especially in the DFS world every week. With the Falcons is you just play them because they're playing from behind all the time. So they're going to throw – it's team garbage time. There's always one every year. Right now it's the Atlanta Falcons. You just play them and play them and play them. At the end of the day, they're going to get you numbers. Like if you had Ryan with Ridley and Gage, which is pretty popular or should have been pretty popular, you did just fine. And that's just the way it goes. For me, it's because they're always behind like this, and we've seen it all year. I don't trust their running backs at all. Like, Freeman got you a little over 10 points in a PPR, which is nice, but he really hasn't had a big year at all. He's not finding the end zone. It's mainly the passing game. You mentioned Blake. Julio should be back next week. Blake will be gone again. But they'll have the three-man show there with Ridley, Gage, and Julio. Graham should have a little bit of an impact there as well. It's a good fantasy offense, a bad real-life offense.
So is Gage, like, is he in flex territory? Is he a injury starter? Like, how do you see Russell Gage for the rest of the season?
If it depends, matchup based for one, as I'll be very clear on, if it's a game where, yes, they're going to be behind most likely, but how good is this defense they're facing? The Saints are good, but you know you can move on them in the dome. I would use him almost as a flex each week unless it's a really bad situation. Then it's more injury based. If we want to compare it to something earlier, I would rather have Russell Gage than Anthony Miller.
Okay, yeah, I think I'm with you on that because Gabriel's going to be back, and we've seen Anthony Miller just put up some absolute duds. So
let me ask you a question on the Saints real quick. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees, I talked about it time and time again. I don't play him in DFS at all this year because it seems like his ceiling is so low with all these different situations going on. It's not just saying that because of Taysom Hill this week. If you just look at Brees' game logs, he has not had any monster Drew Brees games, maybe one. He just hasn't had it. Like, if you have like two quarterbacks on your roster, how often are you just saying I'm not playing Drew Brees?
Yeah, it's tough because this specifically looked like a good matchup. Obviously, a little weirdness to it being that it was on a Thursday, you know, because on the Thursday games, it's so weird that, of course, the Bears and the Lions played the most entertaining game of the day because no one would have expected that. I guess you could say that the Falcons and Saints were entertaining at the end because the Falcons were trying fast and furious to make a comeback and it just couldn't happen. But I would say that, you know, the Thursday games are a nightmare. So he kind of had that going against him. But I don't know. It depends on the matchup because obviously he was banged up for a long time. But coming back, he's 373-3, and then he threw for 287, but no scores. He had three scores, but only 228 against Tampa, which doesn't make any sense. 311 for three against Carolina. I think this was by far his worst week since he's come back. And I don't expect it to keep going, but let's look at the Saints schedule. But I think for the most part, you're right. He's like going to clock in at like QB 15. Yep, most weeks. All,
yeah, he won't be a QB1 a lot of weeks. It's really weird.
Niners next week.
Yeah, you don't play him.
No, it's the Colts the next week. Don't play him. You can maybe play him championship week against the Titans, but it really depends on.
So there's your question there right now. So the next 2 weeks, you probably aren't playing him. Maybe championship week. Do you drop Drew Brees?
I think if I have another quarterback that I'm safe to roll with, and there's a piece that I want to get either because I don't want my opponent to have him or, you know, I need a handcuff. Like if I'm the owner of a decent backup quarterback or another quarterback, I'm going to play more often than Drew Brees. I own Dalvin Cook and Alexander Madison's on the wire. I am dumping him for Madison like easily to get that handcuff in case anything were to happen to Dalvin Cook. Now I have his backup and we know the Vikings are going to run the ball as much as they possibly can. So
we know Baker Mayfield's out there in some waiver wires. They got a pretty good schedule the rest of the way. Would you rather have Baker than Drew Brees?
Oh, man. You know I don't like Baker. So this is a good question for me. Oh, God. I think I would still rather have... I would probably still rather have Brees. Just because the Browns have not been good. And Baker specifically, 14 touchdowns, 13 picks, you know. He has not had a good year. Like you said, the schedule softens up. What do we got here? We got Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Arizona.
Yep. It's nice. It's real nice.
That's pretty good. And then Baltimore at the end, though. That's tough.
Yeah, matchup. That's tough. But, you know, you got to get there, and Breeze ain't getting you there where he could.
Yeah, you know, like, if you own those two guys, this would have been a bad week because – I would have started Baker or I would have started Brees against Atlanta over Baker against Pittsburgh on the road, right?
Yeah. I don't blame you. I probably would have been Baker just because I know it sounds weird. But I just have not been on Brees this year because week in and week out, it is very disappointing what they're doing with that team. It is very weird.
Yeah, and I think the mixing in of Taysom Hill, definitely. I mean, I know you kind of said it's not even a Taysom Hill thing, but I think after this week, once again...
it's got to be now. It's got to be in your head.
Well, it's got to be in your head, but this also could have just been a, look, this is Thursday, and we were going to mix Taysom Hill in because it's something that they're not expecting it, and Taysom Hill is always ready because Taysom Hill is absolutely always ready. So it's a good question to have about both those guys, about Gage and Breeze. But I've been staunch the whole year. If you're in a 12-man league, you're in a 12-man league and you start one quarterback and you own more than one quarterback, I don't know what you're doing. Like, stream that last spot and pick up the quarterback you're going to start on a week-to-week basis for the most part. So, streaming works, but I don't like to do it. I like to roster someone that either that could get an opportunity to play like an Alexander Mattison because of an injury, or a guy with a little bit of upside like an A.J. Brown. I'd rather roster an A.J. Brown than a backup quarterback most weeks. But let's go to how you did last week while we have a little bit of time before the break here. And you crushed it last week.
You can take as much time on this as you want.
Eight and five against the spread, 9-4 on the over-unders, 23-16 on the props. It looks like the Amazon rainforest. There's so much green on this sheet, right?
Yeah, it's quite the difference from the previous week. Let's put it that way. Back to normal things. It was a rough go there for a little bit, but we bounced back as we know to do here. I'm going to give you all the lingos you hear from the Vegas phone calls. But it was good. It was much, much better this week.
I wasn't as good. I was 6-7 against the spread. The Welsh was 8-5. I was 7-6 on the over-unders, and Welsh was 6-7. So my total, I'm two games below 500 against the spread for the year, 81-83. Welsh is 82-82, which is nuts that we're that close. I'm 94-69, nice, on the over-unders, and Welsh is 80-84. So
I gotta add mine up and see where I stand here.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good on the over unders. So, and Welsh had a couple. He got better. He's closer to 500 this week, but he had a couple brutal weeks, 2 weeks in a row on the over unders because he was well over 500 for a while there too. So, but last week, I mean, just reflecting on these games, and we're not going to be able to hit them all before the break here, but let's just open up with your game, Miami and Cleveland. This game, you picked Miami. It didn't work out this time. The double-digit process was right. They lost by 17, 41-24, but you were right on the over because the over was 45.5, and this game was well over 60 points. So what did you see in Miami and Cleveland?
It was a glorious DFS game. This helped me a lot last week. Baker, this is kind of why I wanted to talk about Baker before. Good matchups coming up. He looks really, really good. Jarvis Landry revenge narrative. He's been a PPR monster for the last month or so. That's been beautiful. Same with Devontae Parker on the Dolphins side. You can use Parker weekly and with confidence. Jarvis Landry weekly with confidence. You had Nick Chubb run wild. Finally got an OBJ sighting. Everything you need to get for a get-right offense, the Browns had because they faced the Dolphins. And at the same time, you got your garbage-time Dolphins fantasy production. It was like the best of both worlds. But obviously, you don't expect 41 points from the Browns this weekend in Pittsburgh, but still very good stuff.
Yeah, it was a great game. And that's the only game we're going to be able to get to before the break. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to break down last week's games with Bubba and then talk about all the spreads and all that good stuff as well for week 13 in the NFL. We'll be right back after this break. Stick with us in this league on the Sports Grid.
NFL season is now upon us, and you can become the eighth person to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament by setting their lineups using the DailyRoto.com DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy sports and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Sign up now for the NFL access with a faster optimizer, smarter DFS projections, and better results. Enter promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. DailyRoto.com, where millionaires are made.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Right now, but you won't.
Why don't you punch me in the face? Punch me in the face!
Hey, Derek, you know what's always good for shoulder pain?
What?
If you lick my...
In This League.
Welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We're in hour two. We're talking week 13. But before we get to that, we're going to break down what happened in week 12 with my buddy, KC Bubba. You can find him on Twitter at BDNTrick. You can find me at Bogdan Sports. And check out our Patreon over at In This League. Patreon.com/ITL Army. If you sign up as LT or higher, you get the group me rooms where we talk football, we talk basketball, we talk baseball. We've got, you sign up as an LT, you get to pick whatever sport. You sign up as a captain, you get all the rooms. Plus, we have secret shows going on at the $5 level. So that's a sergeant or higher. You get all the secret shows, plus all of the backup ones that we did, all of the old content that we did as well. Some of those are really funny. I don't think I talked about delivering to the orgy in there at any point, but I definitely might have. But there's a lot of really good stories back there. And there's one, my favorite one ever is called Patheticon, because the Welsh and I got down this rabbit hole. We didn't even have it on our sheet to talk about, right? But we got down this weird rabbit hole where do you ever go on Reddit?
No, that's one thing I've been told I should, but I'm scared because I might go down rabbit holes I shouldn't be on.
Well, there's a Reddit for everything. There's a Reddit for people that are in love with dolphins. That's like a real thing. So
really?
Yeah.
What are they called?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
I have no idea. All I know is I clicked on random sub one time and it took me to, I gotta believe it's all sarcasm, you know. But it took me to a sub where people want to F dolphins or something. So it's very strange. Like, Reddit is the best parts of the internet and the worst parts of the internet in one place. So it's a link hub to all kinds of stuff. You know, you can find all kinds of political talk on there. You can, I follow all the ones from my favorite teams, the Rockets, the Steelers, the D-backs, you know, all of those stuff. The college football one is great. There's a lot of great sports stuff on there, but I was going down the rabbit hole and I follow one called Not Safe for Work Funny, NSFW Funny. And in it, there were, I don't even know how to describe this. It was like a vacation for guys that are in love with their sex dolls.
Oh, my.
It was like a hotel, and all these guys are meeting up at it, and they all have either their real dolls, and then there's these guys with sewn ones. Like,
wait. What?
Yeah, it looked like, you know, like a blanket someone's grandma might have made, like an Afghan blanket, right?
Like the old Mormon soaking blankets?
Yeah, but like one, I to be honest, I don't know what a Mormon soaking blanket is.
Yeah, go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, yeah. Let me peel the curtain back. Not sure what that is, but it's like they look sewn. They look like stitched together.
So like sex the dolls. like a scarecrow.
With cotton instead of hay. Right. So
thankful for posterity. Yes.
Right. Right. Exactly. And they were all hanging out and there's a picture of them and we are going. It's one of those pictures where the more you stare at it, the more stuff is popping out at you. You know, like it was from a while ago. So like there's guys with pagers on their belt, you know, sitting next to their real doll. And, you know, one of them had matching shirts on with their real doll. Like, it was just, it was so funny. And the Welsh could not contain his laughing at all, even a little bit. And I believe we were recording this while he was at work. So he was like, dude, I was at the point where I couldn't breathe. If my boss had walked in while I was doing that, like, I would have just been on the ground sucking wind, you know, just because the picture was so funny. So if that's the kind of stuff that you like hearing about, you know, goofy, weird rabbit hole stuff. I mean, obviously, that's why you're listening to this podcast. We just spent 5 minutes of this talking about, you know,
scarecrows
from the internet.
I'm still like, is this like I'm getting interested now. So is this like a Motel 6 and they kind of just hang out and maybe have a cocktail hour and then they go to their rooms? Or is it like a fishbowl where you can trade, you know, dolls or?
What? I didn't even think of that.
Like, what are we doing? Like, because
like a doll swap, kind of like a wife swap.
Yeah. Because
what
really
do? Do you take their hand off and put it in a bowl and then like grab the hand off?
Change its fingernail paint or something? I don't know. I mean, I tell you, this is why I don't go on Reddit. I have so many theories in this right now, Bogman. We could literally not talk football for the next hour and a half. I got you covered right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll send you the picture. I'll find the picture and send it to you.
Once the show's over.
So, yeah. So you can see it and just understand it was a weird, weird rabbit hole. But we have all kinds of funny content. And we talked about on the most recent one, we talked about... I don't even know how to say it here. I farted so loud that it came through the microphone on one of the shows. And we talked about that. And then we talked about...
I'm terrified about doing that, I'll tell you honestly. I get all my podcasts, hundreds of podcasts. I get scared. There was one time my dog, one that passed away over a year ago, he used to literally lay right behind my chair for every podcast I did for those years. And there was one morning, I don't think something was sitting right, and you could hear the gurgle and then a big one ripped. And I'm doing my morning MLB DFS show, and I'm sitting there going, I almost couldn't keep my composure. I was wondering, I figured there'd be like a rating and review somewhere saying, hey, that baseball news is great, but good God, he needs to stop ripping on the show.
Well, what's funny about that is I was recording for the CFF on campus show on Fantrax with John Lobb, and John stopped talking about whatever it was. And he said, my dog just farted and it smells so bad in here that I am gagging. Like it was out of nowhere. I didn't know what to say. I was like, okay. But the funny thing is, I guess I'll peel the curtain back a little bit. I farted and, you know, it's something that happens, of course. But I didn't think that it came through because nothing ever comes through. Like I will have a meeting of, you know, the guys with leaf blowers, they'll just have their annual meeting right outside my window for 10 minutes at a time. And I have to like hold the headphones up to my ears to hear what people are saying. And they can't hear the leaf blowers in my microphone. So I just assumed it didn't come through. But then I'm recording with Dr. A and I hear him chuckle a little bit.
That's great.
A little bit. And I didn't ask him, to be honest. I didn't ask him because I think it was kind of we were doing a segment where it would lasted like 30 minutes. And I just forgot to ask him afterwards. But when I went back to edit it, I could clearly hear it. So I had to cut it out, but then you could still hear Dr. A laughing. So
it's okay. You join the ranks of like Mike Francesa and everything. You guys, you know, big time sports radio, ripping ass on air. It's part of the gig.
Yeah, it happens. I don't know.
A bunch of fart jokes. You might as well fart. It's okay.
I don't know how we got here, but anyway, check out patreon.com/ITL Army.
For more fun talk like this.
For more fun talk. I swear to God, we talk about sports most of the time. But anyway. I mean,
the biggest podcast you've ever listened to.
Oh, God. But anyway, going over the games from last week, we had Denver and Buffalo. Buffalo smashed Denver, and we've already talked about them a little bit, 20-3. But was this concerning? Obviously, the Broncos this week are going to Drew Lock. But Philip Lindsay still was able to get about 68 yards in this game, but Cortland Sutton looked bad. What did you pull away from this game?
Well, for one, Cortland Sutton ran bad for me because I used him in DFS, obviously, but he had one catch right out the gate for 27 yards. And then the next six targets he did not catch. Now, if those were catchable targets, I am not sure. I know we've talked about that before.
Right.
I didn't look into that. But when you look at his line, he had seven targets for one catch. That could have been a big game, and because he'd previously been getting good work. Philip Lindsay, I still love the workload. I will keep going back to Philip Lindsay. As long as he's their main man, I love his talent, and it's going to be like this weekend against the Chargers. I don't mind that at all, especially if Drew Lock's there. So Denver's just not a good football team. It's not like a go-to for fantasy. There's some relevance there here and there, but I think this is, again, like we just talked about with Buffalo, is this Buffalo team's good. Like, they're actually good.
Yeah. Buffalo, you know, they're going to the playoffs right now. I think they probably only have to win one more game to clinch. So they're in. I mean,
like, the Patriots have to be scared. They might not win the East.
No, the Patriots are winning the East.
No, just let me have this, Bogman.
No, I'm not. Look, it's all fun and games, but the Patriots are winning the East. I know the offense hasn't looked good.
Patriots are winning the AFC. I get it.
Yeah, the Patriots are probably going to win the Super Bowl again. It's super annoying. I hate it. But how about the game that made me the most nervous this week? 16-10, Steelers over the Bengals. Had to come back to win this game. Just pathetic. But Mason Rudolph gets benched. Devlin Hodges goes in. I was super shocked that Benny Snell had 21 carries.
Yeah, and what the heck was that?
I don't know, because he just had knee surgery 2 weeks ago.
What happened to them liking Jalen Samuels in like the last 2 or 3 weeks? They don't use Jalen Samuels.
I you know what I think it was? I think, and we saw the Ravens do this against the Bengals too. Look, I love to rail on the Bengals. It's one of my favorite things because the Bengals and the Bengals haven't been good for a long time. They're a division rival, and Vontaze Burfict, and all. I don't like the Bengals. So I do like to rail on them. But I think part of it is they're kind of easy to game plan against. I mean, you saw the Ravens with Lamar Jackson. That was the game where he just ran. He ran the entire game. He was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. Everybody stand back and watch me. And that's what he did. And I think that's kind of the Steelers said, hey, look, we want to get up in this game and we want to lean on Benny Snell. And then they didn't get up, but they still were leaning on Benny Snell. And that's just the game plan that they had going in. It could be completely different this week. So it makes me nervous about, you know, wanting to tell people to go run out and start Benny Snell, because I just don't know if he's going to be the guy. But James Washington had the big catch in here as well. Not a whole lot of production out of the rest of the guys. Ryan Finley is going to get benched after this game, and they're going back to the Red Rifle. Joe Mixon had his normal workload, although he didn't catch a pass, and after Tyler Boyd was a crybaby and complained about not getting targeted, he got 9 targets. So what did you pull away from this Pittsburgh and Cincinnati game?
I was very happy they finally went to Mr. Duck Hodges. I was tweeting that. I said, if they don't go to Duck Hodges after the halftime game, they might actually lose this. So that was good to see, because part of me was looking forward to this if Cincinnati would have won that game. But we were realists here. It wasn't going to happen. So that takeaway is great. The Bengals, Tyler Boyd got the squeaky wheel treatment. But other than that, this was just an ugly football game, like really bad football game.
Yeah, the Bears won also. They won 19-14 over the Giants. You nailed it. By the way, you had Buffalo in the under, Cincinnati in the under, and the Giants in the under. You got all of these games both correct. And in this one, you know, we talked about the Bears a little bit, and Trubisky, 278, 2 picks. but he had a touchdown passing and a touchdown rushing. Montgomery had the workload, but not the yards. Allen Robinson, that was his best game of the year, 6 for 131 and a touchdown. We saw Miller come through after Gabriel got a little bit banged up as well. On the Giants side, Danny Dimes, 2 picks. Did he not? No, he did have a fumble. I was like, did he not fumble this game? I'm pretty sure he did. But Barkley, only 60 yards for Barkley in this game. Are you concerned about him moving forward?
Yeah, this is a guy I told multiple people in my fantasy DGen Slack chat, even on this day of recording, that had them in his lineup for this week for DFS, not to play him. He might have a good game here and there, but they are limiting his workload. They've already come out and said they might shut him down at some point this year. There's no need to run him into the ground when this team's not going to be really competitive this season. So this is kind of a lost year for Saquon Barkley. I think he's still kind of hurt a little bit, and he's just the way they're trying to – they want to make Daniel Jones this good passer, but they still have Saquon Barkley. They haven't had a way to make it work yet.
Going over to the next game here, Oakland got smoked by the Jets 34-3 here. And I didn't expect this. And
no.
I mean, you know, you picked the Jets. And
I said outright, by the way. I said outright on the air last week.
Okay, so you picked the Jets outright. I didn't see this coming. And I think you probably didn't even see this coming, 34-3, right?
No. I thought it might be. That's why I had Jets in the over. I thought more of like kind of a shootout. Like it would have been 34-31. I'd have been all about it. I was thoroughly shocked at how bad the Raiders offense looked. The weather was bad. It was wet. There was a lot of bad drop passes. It was bad football. And like they said after the game, Gruden said, this is kind of just a burn the tape game. Just pretend it never happened. I think they're 7-5 now. You move on. So it was really, really bad from the Raiders. But on the flip side, it was great to see the Jets yet again. They're getting better and better on offense. Legohead is looking really, really well, and he's going to have a great matchup again this weekend. And the weapons are being very productive for him. Bobby Anderson had a big play. Crowder wasn't bad. Griffin's been good. Lev Bell's been consistent. This Jets offense is starting to click, and the way they're playing so well, it can get really scary if we have the Jets and the Bills as the two wildcard teams.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I'm not. The Jets are actually, aren't they like, what are they, 6-5 now?
The Jets are, let me see here. The Jets are 4-7.
Oh, I thought they were flipped down the other way. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, no, they're not. They're not great.
I thought they were at least 500. That was my bad.
No, well, remember that Darnold got hurt and they had Luke Falk and all those losers for.
That's a kryptonite.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, the team is, you know, like you said, they're putting it together. Let me ask you this: rest of the season, Robbie Anderson or Jameson Crowder?
PPR league, Jameson Crowder. Overall fantasy, Robbie Anderson. Because Robbie Anderson, outside of like one or two big plays last week, still wasn't that great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he got what he had 5 targets, but 4 catches for 86 and the touchdown, of course. But he's come on the last couple weeks, and there's this weird thing with him and Darnold. Like, it feels like that is Darnold's DeSean Jackson, is Robbie Anderson.
It is. That's a great way to put it. And then, you know, because Crowder's his safety net, and then he goes to Anderson for the big plays.
The last game before the break here, Carolina, Joey Sly, make a field goal. Jesus. This was, if you don't remember back to last Sunday, this was the field goal week. 34-31 Saints over the Panthers. Joey Sly blows the extra point field goal there, but Kyle Allen looked good, 256-3. DJ Moore continues to put up huge weeks, 6 for 126 and 2 scores. McCaffrey was everything again. Curtis Samuel having a rough go at it recently, only 1 catch for 9 yards. He did have 4 rushes for 40 yards, but we already talked about the Saints a little bit. What do you think about the Panthers moving forward?
Fantasy-wise, they're going to be great. You play CMC every week. DJ Moore's a must-play. Samuel, I still have faith in. There's a lot to like there. And Kyle Allen or Drew Brees?
I'm still going Drew Brees.
I know. There's a lot of Kyle Allen haters out there, but he's actually been decent. I wouldn't use Kyle Allen either. But the skill players are very, very serviceable going forward. As they're another one of those teams that are playing from behind quite a bit. And CMC, again, just a freak.
The pride of Desert Mountain. Kyle Allen and Keaton Slovis, by the way. So Keaton Slovis, USC freshman quarterback. USC. That's right. That's right. So, but we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to go over the rest of the games that we haven't got to from week 12. And then we're going to get into picking these week 13 games. I made the prop bets for KC and I'm going to pick them with him as well. And I'll see if we can get the Welsh's picks in there too. But stick with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Hello, welcome back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. It's me and Casey Bubba, myself, Scott Bogman, and Casey Bubba here. We are breaking down the rest of these Week 12 games because Bubba hit the props on them, and he did a great job against the spread and on the over-unders. But we're just going through and evaluating here. And we had Tampa Bay win. They stomped the Falcons. I think everybody was picking the Falcons. They were going in the right direction. But 35-22, Tampa Bay wins, and the Falcons are just, they're kind of a joke this year. But Chris Godwin had a huge catch in here. He had a huge game. Vita Vey became the largest man by weight in NFL history to score a touchdown. We like that. All right, was it a receiving touchdown?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Well, I know it was a receiving touchdown, but I can't remember the weight thing. Right.
Yeah, because the fridge was a big dude.
Yeah, but you just always forget how much smaller guys 30 years ago were compared to these guys that are on all the protein shakes and whatever other stuff and all the right equipment. And, it's actually taken a little bit more seriously, conditioning your body and all that stuff. So Vita Vey is a huge human being. And that might be his most successful play in the NFL ever, by the way, because he hasn't had many. He was banged up all year last year. But he caught a touchdown. This was just a fun game. Jameis Winston didn't look terrible. I think he only had the two turnovers, and you had gone on the over.
Got that one wrong.
But you had, right, the Calvin Ridley 80 yards over and the Mike Evans catches 8. You had the under on that, and you got that right as he only had 4. So what did you come away? We talked about Atlanta from yesterday a little bit, but what do you come away from Tampa Bay with this game?
Jameis is going to be a fantasy quarterback. We talk about it all the time. We clown on him. I said it on Twitter that day. He threw a pick on one of the opening drives, and everyone was going up in an uproar. And I tweeted it out. I said, guys, this is what we want from Jameis Winston. He's going to throw 2+ interceptions every game. He's going to score you 2+ touchdowns and throw for over 300 yards. And he's going to be over 20 fantasy points every week. Just be quiet and enjoy it. That's what Jameis does. Like, this is what he does. It is not pretty. It is not a work of art. It is more like throwing stuff at a wall. But this is Jameis Winston at his finest, like buttery, crabby fingers doing his thing. And then on the flip side, Godwin, it was Godwin week. He went bananas. Evans a little less. And then we already talked about Atlanta. So it's just the passing game in Tampa Bay is what you want. I still don't trust the running game at all, even though Ronald Jones did find the end zone.
I am so sick of the Bruce Arians run game. It can't go away soon enough. And I'm not asking Bruce Arians to retire or anything, but just figure it out. I think Bruce Arians has gotten a lot better at his offensive calling, because when he was the offensive coordinator for the Steelers, he left Ben Roethlisberger out to dry. The offensive line wasn't good, and he didn't care. It was still throw the ball 50 times. It was like the Mike Leach offense. It was, we're going to throw the ball 50 times. And that was when people criticized Ben for making a bunch of mistakes, too. And part of it's you're just asking these guys to do a little bit too much. If you had a better run game to rely on, which the Steelers didn't when Bruce Arians was around, the best running back they had with him was probably, Willie Parker and Rashard Mendenhall. And that was on the tail end of what Willie Parker could do. He didn't stick around for a long time. And then Mendenhall, I never liked. So they're going to pass the ball, like you said. What about the Redskins and the Lions? Because you and me and everybody else got everything wrong about this game. 19-16, the Redskins win a game. Never thought I would say. And Dwayne Haskins, I love the selfie thing, by the way. Did you see that whole bit?
Hey, wait, Welsh, take this. I got to take a picture real quick. Yeah, no, I did see it. I heard your discussion on one of your shows with the Black Book with Pisapia and the Welsh. I think it's cool that he's hanging out with fans. I kind of would like him to finish a game and then go take pictures of the fans. That's just my two cents. For a guy that was ripping his O-line the week before to not be there to take the final snaps, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But I know you don't feel the same way. I'm more the get off your lawn approach at this point in time. But he's one of those guys that, you know, like if Big Ben would have been doing that, you know how much garbage Ben would have caught for that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's cute because he's the rookie getting his first win. But if that's my first win, I want to go in the victory formation and get it done. And then I'll go sign all the autographs, take all the pictures you want.
Well, that's what I said. You know, I wasn't completely excusing it, but I also didn't really care. You know, it was at the end of the game. Case Keenum, he gets paid enough to take a knee. That's fine. You know, they need fan interaction in Washington because it's been fairly ugly. People are pissed. I mean, this is a worst run organization in sports. I think the Redskins probably are. I mean, you know, first of all, you're never going to get out of this weird cloud shadow nonsense that you have until you change the name. And it doesn't matter what side you're on, whether you think that's a ridiculous ask or not. It's just the way it's going to be. It doesn't matter if you can line up all the arguments for keeping the name the Redskins that you want, but it just doesn't matter until the name changes. You're going to have a stigma around this team. And until Daniel Snyder either smartens up and lets anybody else take the reins and he takes a full step back and doesn't mess with the team anymore, until that happens, this team is just going to be surrounded and kind of embroiled in controversy for a while. But the offense puttered and they still won. And really, this was Jeff Driskel throwing three picks, which after Driskel threw three picks, I know his hamstring was sore, but after seeing what David Blau did against Chicago, I wouldn't be surprised to see more of David Blau moving forward, right?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I said it when we recap the Thanksgiving game is I'd imagine they go back to Driskel because I think they want to have him finish out the year to make sure is he the backup or isn't he for this team. But maybe you let Blau do it. Maybe he's the backup going forward. I don't know. It's just a weird situation there. They traded for Blau for a seventh round pick after the preseason was over with. So maybe they give him a shot or they just, you know, have him step in as the backup starting next season. I don't know. It's going to be tough to see there. It's the Lions. Who cares? But in reality, like, you're not going to own either of them for fantasy-wise. It'll be really interesting. The thing that caught my attention in this game, if for any fantasy relevance at all, is Terry McLaurin at 5 for 72, which was good to see again. I think he had like 11 targets, so a lot of misses because it's Dwayne Haskins. Haskins missed him for two easy touchdowns too. What I've been telling people on DFS and everything is McLaurin used to be an autoplay, and then we just stopped playing him for obvious reasons. He's at least in the discussion for tournaments now because the volume's back being up there. And one of these days, Haskins is going to hit him for a lot of these passes, and McLaurin is going to have a monster game. So I think even for season long, you can start putting McLaurin back in your lineups if you need, you know, certain upside wide receivers.
Now, the game that made the least sense of the week to me was Tennessee 42 over Jacksonville 20. Now, in, you know, all fairness, I took Jacksonville. I thought they were going to win this game, but I was so super confident about the under in this game. And you took it too, because it seemed like it was going to be Leonard Fournette versus Derrick Henry as far as touches goes. And that's the way it worked. But Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill just poured it on. It was crazy how bad Jacksonville's defense has been since Ramsey left.
Yeah, Tannehill with another top fantasy production week. This dude has been doing it every time since he's been a starter now. Marcus Mariota, hasta la bye-bye. It's bad news for you. But Tannehill's been very good, very fantasy. Tannehill or Drew Brees the rest of the way?
Drew Brees. I can't. Come on. I'm not. Just because you have a Ryan Tannehill jersey doesn't mean I'm going to pick him. No, thank you.
I'm just telling you, fantasy wise, we can start making some side bets on this boy. But Derrick Henry, we talked about it last week. I had Derrick Henry week. I had him everywhere I could for DFS wise. And if you had him in season long, you're a happy person. Second half, Derrick Henry plus the Jags defense against the run is horrific. So whoever they're playing coming up here, do it again. Leonard Fournette, it was great to see him back. We talked about that too. 24 carries, big part of the passing game. There was just a lot to like when it came to fantasy in this game. The score says it all, but the receivers got theirs. Like, for the most part, you had a fun week if you had pieces of this game.
And I think if you're a Leonard Fournette owner, you like the fact that Jacksonville's defense is bad because that means that, you know, Leonard Fournette's going to catch some more passes. If you're in a PPR league, he had 9 catches. He had 33 touches in this game. So moving forward, it's been great. Ugly game here. I mean, Dallas and the Patriots, 13-9 was the final in it, but the weather was horrific. I don't know that there's too much you could garner from this game as the way it played out. Maybe, are you worried about Tom Brady moving forward?
I'm not. I could see the concern. Yes, I could. I'm not that worried because he's one of those guys when the rubber meets the road, he's going to be productive.
Right.
I think coming into the season, we all decided that I wanted nothing to do with Tom Brady. We knew the Patriots were going to game manage him. They wanted to make sure he's healthy to be there in the end. They're not going to ask him to do a lot. And that's how it's been. They're using every weapon around him. You know, even this game that was kind of close, it wasn't close. They didn't really make him do more than he had to do. And that's how it's going to be the rest of the way. That's just how it's going to be. And I wouldn't be overly concerned. I just wouldn't have had him on my team to begin with.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. Brady has been a bit brutal this year. Breeze or Brady?
I was going to ask you too. I'm glad you beat me to that one. I would probably go Brady because at least I have the faith if they want to, they can do it. Breeze, I just haven't seen them want to.
Yeah, I mean, I got Breeze because he's still throwing up 300 yards on occasion.
I guess the 300 yards and the bright side is he will have dome games where Brady's going to be playing in bad weather.
Right. Lots of Sony Michel, lots of grinded out from Michel.
You know, the other part is back-to-back weeks of James White basically disappearing is very depressing.
That's true. I mean, James White, what's your worry level here? Are you flexing him out?
I'm not even playing him this week. I'm concerned. It's like I used to play him every week. It's gotten to the point now. If you need him, like if you need a flex option or you have injuries, yes, you play him. I have the luxury. I'm playing Mixon over him this week.
Man. Yeah. I mean, it's there are just so many guys. Like, what about Mixon makes sense. What about a guy like I think Tariq Cohen's probably too low. What about like Freeman?
I'd probably still go to James White because I just don't believe in that Atlanta backfield.
Yeah, the Atlanta backfield's been brutal.
It's just so tough because now for like the second straight week, we've seen Burkhead be really involved. Michelle's going to keep getting his touches no matter what. It used to be Michelle and White, and he felt confident in that. And now Burkhead's back making a mess of things.
Now, going over to that Sunday night game, 37-8, Niners over the Packers. You, me, and the Welsh, we all picked the Packers in this game. Welsh just a masochist, of course, but 37-8, the Niners win this game. I mean, this was utter dominance. And Aaron Rodgers, 100 yards. Garoppolo, 253-2. They ran Mostert and Coleman. Coleman had a nice touchdown here, but it was a receiving game. You know, Kittle back on his horse, 6 for 129 and a score. Debo, my guy, with a touchdown on only 2 catches. Didn't have many great performers outside of that, but this was just utter domination. I think you have to worry, and we're going to get to it when we talk about this week's games, but it seems like you need to worry regardless of who you're starting against the Niners.
Yes, this Niners defense is for real. This Niners offense is methodically good. Like this is Shanahan doing Shanahan things. It's pound the rock, use our running backs in the passing game. And then by doing that, it just opens up that the rest of the passing game. Kittle somehow apparently has a broken ankle, but you could have fooled me. Like, it was ridiculous out there. I swear, when they said he had a broken ankle, like, why are they playing him? And then you watch him out there. He doesn't have a broken ankle. I'm sorry. there's no way.
That's like possible. A hairline fracture.
There's nothing broken there.
They get him on the goofballs, and he's good to go.
Yes, exactly. Debo keeps doing Debo things. This team is good. Like, I didn't think they wouldn't win. I just didn't think they would cover. Like, that's where it was very confusing. I think we're on the same page there. I didn't expect Green Bay to lay this big of an egg. It looked like Rodgers was seeing ghosts, but I'm not worried about Rodgers either. I'm pretty sure he's going to have a heck of a weekend coming up on Sunday against the Giants. But it's legit. The Niners, I've always been waiting for them to kind of hit that banana peel and then regroup from that and become better. I don't know if that's going
to
happen anymore.
Yeah, and their one loss was to Seattle in overtime on the road. Yeah.
No, they were at home.
You're right. It was overtime at home. They missed the field with their backup kicker, yeah. And Kittle didn't play. So
and Emmanuel Sanders left hurt.
Right. So it's like all those factors had to add up for them to actually lose a game. It was crazy. But the game that pissed me off the most, Monday Night Football, where once again, I was a huge Lamar Jackson fan in college. And there are a lot of people, you know, doubting him coming into the NFL. You know, I think Bill Polian said he needed to move to wideout. All of this nonsense. And Lamar Jackson, the Welsh beat me in our home league by 6 points. So he beat me because of that last Lamar Jackson touchdown. And I was infuriated. 15 of 20, 169 and 5 passing touchdowns for him. Mark Ingram, huge. 15 for 111. Lamar Jackson chipped in 95 rushing yards on only 8 carries. Remember when this Rams defense was good? That is completely gone. Malcolm Brown with 2 scores. Willie Snead, who I picked up the day before the game, with 2 touchdowns. Mark Ingram had a receiving touchdown as well. On the Rams side, it's been Jared Goff, the joke here. 212, no touchdowns, 2 picks. Todd Gurley couldn't get involved because they were down. 6 of 22, 3 catches for negative yards. And Robert Woods was the best Ram, 6 for 97. Kupp chipped in 6 catches, but only 35 yards. This was an ugly game, and I hate the Ravens. And now I'm starting to dislike Lamar Jackson, even though I feel like I was his biggest champion. All I wanted was the Steelers to draft him. Just please draft him. And no, the most hated rival in the division has to go and draft him, and now he's amazing, of course.
Yeah, it was rough because Cooper Kupp had 4 of those catches in their last 2 drives, and I lost PPR league by 1.5 points to the guy that had Kupp. So that was fun watching garbage time just dump offs to him. But Jared Goff finished November with no touchdown passes. That was impressive.
No TD November.
Yeah, no TD November. That's true. Yeah, don't click on that button. It was a rough go there for the Rams. And I guess to keep it simple, Hollywood was Hollywood. That was simple in Hollywood. So that was good to see. And Lamar Jackson, it's like the old basketball narratives, you know, going to MSG or to, you know, the old Forum or something. They're going to rise to the occasion. Well, he goes to L.A. in front of the, you know, the bright lights, and he just stomped them. It was I think I stopped watching at halftime because it was way over by then. It wasn't even close. I just kept checking my phone to see when they were going to bring Robert Griffin in. But Lamar was just I say it every week is he's such a gazelle out there. He just glides around the field. No one really hits him. And then the passes he was making, it was so easy. Like little in routes from like the slot receiver, wide open, on the money. Like they were great passes. It was awesome to watch. I wasn't a Lamar hater. I wasn't just buying into him being this great. I figured, okay, he could be good. I think he'd be great. Because coming into the season, I'm thinking that playoff game where he just looked horrible, couldn't move the ball. Well, he said in the offseason he worked on a lot of things, and he sure did. And what he's doing is darn impressive, and the MVP race will be a lot of fun, and this Sunday will be a lot of fun.
The highest scoring college fantasy football years by a player ever, the 1 and 2 are both Lamar Jackson. And then 3 was Barry Sanders in whatever it was, 88, when he 87. Scored 87 when he scored 30 touchdowns, over 30. I think it was 34, 36, something like that, 30 touchdowns. So very impressive work by Lamar, but that wraps up Hour 2. We will be right back after this break for Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid, and we are going to be talking about these Week 13 games, so stick with us.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.